The Meaning of Baptism, Part 2. In this short study of baptism, we have seen the importance of baptism, and we've begun to study its meaning. As a religious ritual, baptism is an act in which a believer is immersed in water in the triune name. This practice was authorized by the head of the church, Jesus Christ, and so is called an ordinance. Christ ordained baptism as a part of New Testament religious worship in numerous ways, by his approval of John's baptism of repentance, by being baptized himself, by baptizing his followers through the disciples for 3+ years, and by his great commission command to baptize disciples. But baptism is more than just a commanded ritual. It is an act impregnated with meaning by God himself. He has chosen in his covenants with men to not only speak promises to them, but to give them visible signs of those promises. These are called sacraments. They are dramatic representations to the senses of his verbal message. So sacraments are often called the visible word. Thus, in the New Covenant, baptism and the Lord's Supper are pictures of the gospel of promised salvation in Jesus Christ. Last week we looked at the first thing baptism portrayed, salvation through the waters of judgment. Baptism is a vivid depiction of a believer's spiritual experience. As they enter and go under the water, they portray the truth that they were under judgment. But God saved them as he did Noah in the flood, as he did Israel at the Red Sea, as he did Jonah in the fish. These dramatic rescues from the waters of judgment are replayed in baptism. But what else does baptism mean? And in what other way does baptism portray the promises of the new covenant? What else is God saying to us in this sacrament? The remaining summary answer is that baptism not only shows in a general picture God saving us from judgment, but baptism also shows how he saves us. That is through identification or union with Christ. So secondly, baptism pictures identification and union with Jesus Christ. Baptism means we are united to Christ. There are several ways we know this. First, baptism itself means to dip or submerge or immerse. When cloth was dyed, it was baptized into colored liquid. When ships sank, they were baptized. So to be baptized is to be incorporated into, placed into, or united to Christ. Second, the prepositions used with baptism teach this. In the Great Commission, baptism is in, or more literally, into the name of the triune God. It pictures the placing of a person into God. There's an identification or union between the person being baptized and the one they are naming. You see, baptism is the taking of the name of a leader to yourself. It is placing yourself into his service and allegiance. So it is a way of obeying the third commandment. Do not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Do not take it up and claim it as your own, and wear it lightly, the commandment says. Baptism claims, I deliberately and sincerely take the Lord as my God. I identify with him. I am a disciple of Christ, and so my name is Christian. My identity is in him. Galatians 3:27 says that as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Thirdly, there are two texts in 1 Corinthians that illustrate this. The first is Israel's baptism into Moses. In 1 Corinthians 10:3, Scripture says that Israel was baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They were united to their leader. They identified as followers of Moses. They were physically saved by their union with him throughout the Exodus. The Egyptians were not identified with Moses, and they were not saved. Those that left Egypt and placed themselves under Moses, those who were baptized into him, both Egyptian and Jew, they were saved. So baptism pictures identification and union. And this is why Paul was concerned with the Corinthian church. They had divisions based on who they claimed to follow, who they identified with as Christians. Some followed Paul. Some followed Peter, Apollos, Christ. Paul understood that people should follow those they were baptized into, not those who baptized them. So in 1 Corinthians 1:13, he asks, "Were you baptized into the name of Paul?" And he is glad he did not baptize many of them himself, because they were apparently getting confused between who baptized them and into whose name they were baptized. Who performed the ceremony of baptism wasn't who you should identify with, Paul says. Who you were baptized into is who you follow, who you are united to, who you identify with. The heart of salvation, as it is applied to us, is God joining a person to Jesus Christ through faith. Salvation is God putting a person into Jesus Christ, putting a person into union with Christ. So the drama of baptism pictures the salvation of God as union with Jesus. But we could be more specific about what baptism means. It means more, and it is more, than a picture of salvation through the waters of judgment. It tells us salvation comes by union, not with Moses or another, but with Christ. And even more specifically, by our union with him in his death, burial, and resurrection. The major text demonstrating this is Romans 6, verses 1 through 5. Let me read that to you. Follow along. Listen carefully as we learn about baptism and union with Christ. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Well, Paul, what do you mean we died to sin? When did that happen? He answers this way. And I think he answers in a way that few of us would answer. Few of us think of baptism this way. But Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, was confident that he could say the following thing. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like this, his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. You see, baptism is and shows being united with Jesus Christ. It displays union. If we have been baptized, then our identification with Christ is not in a bare name only, but in the saving events of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. We are united with Christ in the blessings of his death and resurrection. Baptism or immersion is a plain picture of this. Christ died, was placed in a tomb, and then arose from that tomb. And baptism, we are considered dead going into judgment. We are placed into a watery tomb and then rise from it in newness of life. So baptism portrays our union with Christ, not at his birth or in his miracles, but in his saving death, burial, and resurrection. Colossians 2:12 reinforces this. It says, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. Baptism, according to these verses, pictures our union with Christ. We are buried with him. We are raised with him. Our connection with Christ by faith makes his work ours. He represented us when he lived, died, was buried, and was raised. And baptism beautifully and plainly shows this. But baptism pictures identification and union with Christ even more specifically than this. It does this in the graces of salvation. You see, baptism is a visible gospel sermon that displays many facets of our salvation. Our confession mentions several, including the remission of sins and walking in newness of life. There are others, but here are several prominent ones in Scripture. First, the remission of sins. Water is a cleansing agent in our everyday lives. And so baptism pictures forgiveness, the removal of our sins. Mark 1:4 says that John preached a baptism of repentance, the forgiveness of sins. And in more detail, in Matthew chapter 3 and verses 6 to 8, this doctrine is explained. Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region around the Jordan were going out to John, and they were being baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father,' for I tell you, God is able to raise up children for Abraham from these stones." Verse 11, "I baptize you with water for repentance." Christian baptism is no different. In Acts 22:16, Paul is urged by Ananias, "Be baptized and wash away your sins." Now, it's true that only Christ's blood actually removes sin, makes a proper payment for the cleansing of sins. It is not the blood of bulls and goats, and it's not water that washes away sins. But the waters of baptism picture and remind us of our true washing by Christ. Ephesians 5:26, we are cleansed by the washing of water. Now, some of these may refer more directly to justification and others to our regeneration or internal moral renewal when it talks about cleansing. It's hard to distinguish or to know the specific reference sometimes. Perhaps some verses refer to both or to cleansing in a broad sense. But what is clear is that sins are removed and baptism portrays that work of Christ. A second way in which our union with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection means union with him in the graces of salvation. Next, regeneration. Again, Colossians 2:11 and 12. We have been circumcised with a circumcision not made by hands, but from Christ. This is our new life. This is regeneration. This is the cutting out of the heart of flesh and the putting in, the heart of stone and putting in a heart of flesh. The old man is gone and new life comes. And so baptism is a picture not just of a general salvation and not even just of union with Christ in death, burial, and resurrection, but in the grace of regeneration. Our sins are removed and regeneration is pictured. And finally, and others could be given, but sanctification, again, going back to Romans 6, union with Christ in baptism shows death to sin and resurrection life to obedience. We walk in newness of life. We died with him. We live with him. And we count this true because it is. This is no way of tricking ourselves into thinking positively about our lives or situation. This is no psychological trick we are playing. No, we count this true for ourselves because it is true. And baptism pictures this and should be a reminder to us that because Christ died and we are united with him, oh yes, that's right, that's what my baptism portrayed. Not just the truth of the word that I hear with my ear, but what I did when I went under the water, what others saw me do, that pictures ongoing sanctification. We are no longer under the power of sin. We are raised to walk in newness of life. And when we reflect on our own baptism and we see it in others, it should spur us on in sanctification. So to sum up, what does baptism mean? It means two things. First, at this point, we'll have a third one next week. Salvation through the waters of judgment. And then secondly, the how, union with Christ. Well, we will look at one more of these, Lord willing, next week, and then the blessings, the benefits that come to us from baptism.